3. Some Chaos and Walt, Mr. Malarkey behind those, and then on the blind side, the white jacket of Cabaret Queen and Shantou Village.
Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Voice a little scratchy after Thanksgiving out of town, visiting some relatives in Arkansas. I came back with a little congestion, but we'll power through. Hopefully you all had a great Thanksgiving. It was a good weekend of racing that will continue today and tomorrow. Unfortunately, both Del Mar and Aqueduct canceled on Thanksgiving Day itself due to weather conditions, anticipated rain out in Southern California, and some high winds in New York. But there was racing at some of the other venues. We'll touch on a little bit of that this morning and watch some replays tomorrow morning as well, with, again, a big holiday weekend of stakes action. But we'll also do some previews a little bit later on in the program. Joe Christofek, paddock commentator from Churchill Downs. We'll talk some of the Churchill stakes. We'll recap last night, or yesterday afternoon, the Clark, and we'll do a little preview of the two-year-old stakes today, the Kentucky Jockey Club and the Goldenrod. Kentucky Jockey Club, obviously, with Eclipse implications, with Tis the Law in the mix. Again, shooting for a potential two-year-old Eclipse with a win this afternoon down at Churchill Downs. We'll also get a weather update, because as I understand the weather, which, boy, the last couple of weeks down at Churchill, they have been battling some wet fall weather, and I think that continues today, so we'll see how that works out. But again, Joe Christofek a little bit later on. Early post time at Aqueduct today, so that means an early start for Talking Horses, so we'll probably wrap things up a little early as well and send it down to New York for a preview of the Saturday card today. They have some nice stakes action down in New York as well. Let me hit on a couple of news and notes from the past week, because again, I've been out of town, but keeping up with the news. And with holidays, maybe you were out of the mix as well. This is a little bit interesting. Independence Hall, the really nice two-year-old for Mike Trombetta. Not going to go in the Remsen, going to wait for the Jerome. The Jerome is New Year's Day. It just gives him a little more time. But boy, the win last time for Independence Hall labeled that one as a very good two-year-old and potentially a very good three-year-old for Trombetta as well. Quote in the Daily Racing Forum article, "We were very concerned about running back 5 weeks in the Remsen. The Jerome, however, it's at a distance that he's done, a track that he's done, and it brought him some time off. It bought him some time off from that big race last time." So again, we'll look for Independence Hall to show up about a month down the road, New Year's Day, down at Aqueduct. And again, we'll look at that with some anticipation, because that horse looked very good, and so there is some three-year-old potential sitting out there. Nice article in the Racing Forum by Marty McGee, just a short article, but it mentioned Steve Asmussen will be participating in the Turfway Holiday Meet, and kind of labeled that, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Turfway Meet is like this winter, because Churchill Downs has taken ownership. They promised some renovations, and there's going to be some purse boosts, and just based on what we saw at Churchill this fall, it'll be interesting to see what happens at Turfway this winter. They've talked about boosting up the maiden specials to $46,000, first level allowance to $48,000. According to this article, that essentially doubles their former value. And some of the races down at Churchill this fall, it's the purses have just been phenomenal. So we'll see what happens. They've also, part of the renovation, they're going to renovate the track surface, and they haven't announced what they're going to do yet. It's going to be interesting because that is Turfway, one of the tracks that is held on to the synthetic. They have a polytrack surface. They've had it, according to this article, since September 2005. And with everything that's been happening in the racing world this year, particularly out in Southern California, there's been kind of a, I won't say a clamor, but there has certainly been some talk about revisiting the synthetic track issue. So it'll be interesting to see what they do down at Turfway. Because I think the synthetic for them has been successful. Wintertime racing, weather can affect things, but with the synthetic surfaces, not so much so. So as I say, I think it's been successful for them. We'll see what happens. Got stormy. Heads out to Southern California tomorrow to try the Matriarch and maybe throw the hat back in the, it's probably still in the eclipse ring, but it's going to be between Got Stormy and Uni in that category for an eclipse. They have each beaten each other once. Uni, however, with two grade ones. Got Stormy is chasing with an attempt to get to that mark. And I'm just pulling up. Got Stormy so far this year. Grade 1 win in the 4-star, Dave, over the boys. That's Got Stormy's lone grade 1 win. But, of course, there was that fabulous week up at Saratoga where she won the Della Rose and then came back 7 days later and won the 4-star Dave against the boys. Since then, a close-up second in the Woodbine Mile and a nice second in the Breeders' Cup Mile. That was behind Uni. So I suppose right now, Uni in the clubhouse, as it were, for that division. But Mark Cassie says, we'll ship out to Southern California, try to put another grade one on the resume in the Matriarch. That's tomorrow out at Del Mar. That's going to be the seventh race tomorrow at Del Mar, grade one event, mile over the turf, out in Southern California. And again, I'll hit on some of those others today and tomorrow, some nice stakes action. Again, with the weather out there in Southern California, they pushed some of this, those stakes, the Thursday and Friday stakes. Thursday was canceled at Del Mar, and Friday they went all dirt, so they pushed some of the turf stakes to Saturday and Sunday. So a nice weekend out there for turf stakes. Also, Frankie Dettori named the Longines World's Best Jockey by the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. It's a it's kind of a point system based on group or grade one races, a select group of group or grade one races. Tilts a little towards the Europeans, it seems like. But Frankie Dettori becomes the first jockey to win back-to-back. He's now won three of the last 5 years. Going to get honored in a ceremony December 6th in Hong Kong. I'm not sure. Day before, day after, they had the International Jockeys Challenge. And I'm not sure whether he is riding in that or not, but I'm sure that's all part of the ceremony and whatnot. But again, dominant force throughout the year. Dettori won 8 of the world's top 100 group or grade one races aboard 7 different horses. One of those, of course, being Enable, who it's going to be fun to see her come back next year, but certainly to have that on your resume is pretty good. But then he added enough to get the points up there. So he wound up with 102 points. Zach Purton, second with 88. Hugh Bowman finished third. As I say, it tilts a little more towards European or maybe Australia, Asian based jockeys, just because of the way the races are parsed out, the scoring races. But again, Frankie Dettori, the world's best jockey for the second year in a row, according to the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. Once again, let me just touch on, we'll talk with Joe Christofect about two stakes today at Churchill, Goldenrod, and the Kentucky Jockey Club out in Southern California. Today we have the Jimmy Durante for the two-year-old fillies. Alms is very interesting there for Mike Stidham. A couple of races, a couple of wins at Belmont, ships across country to try the Grade 3 today. The red carpet is also today. Nice field in there. I think a nice competitive field. Maybe Keeper of the Stars is the one that jumps out a little bit, but you can kind of go in a few different directions there. The Seabiscuit, also on today's card down out at Del Mar. Sacred Life for Chad Brown. Ohm for Peter Miller. Prince Earl for Phil D'Amato. Interesting in there. Ronald R. for Ron Ellis. It could be a player. Cleopatra Strike, another Phil D'Amato horse, and Phil D'Amato also with Andesh. And then the Hollywood Derby today at Del Mar. That always fun. It's always fun at the end of the year to get the three-year-old races in, the last few shots. The Malibu certainly will come up on the main track a little bit later at Santa Anita and with about 3 weeks' time. But the Hollywood Derby, Grade 1 event for the three-year-olds in that subdivision I like quite a bit, the three-year-olds on the turf. Digital Age and Standard Deviation for Chad Brown both look interesting. Hey, you're on the turf, the Grade 1, some big money. Chad Brown is going to show up. Neptune Storm, who won the Hill Prince out of Belmont a couple of starts back, could be a player. Kingly on a best effort for Bob Baffert. But it's a nice full field of 13 entered today in the Hollywood Derby. And it should be a lot of fun. Again, to me, it probably goes through one or the other of the Chad Brown runners. Tomorrow, again, a nice turf stakes weekend out at Del Mar. Tomorrow, the Cecil B. DeMille for the two-year-olds on the turf. Also tomorrow, they have the Hollywood Turf Cup Grade 2 event at a mile and a half. And as I mentioned earlier, the Matriarch also, where Got Stormy will make her case for a potential Eclipse Award. Today at Aqueduct, Turf Sprint Championship, Guido is in there. Vici is interesting to me. Dubini. Discovery has Tax. Tax hasn't been seen since the seventh place finish in the Travers. Prior to that, had won the Jim Dandy. Right after that, we had the owners on, Randy Hill and Dean Reeves, came on and were on Loose on the Lead Sunday morning with Steve Bick and I after the Jim Dandy win. They were happy. Randy's always great. But we'll see Tax come back again after that seventh place finish in the Travers. Has been on the sidelines for a while now. Comes back this afternoon in the Discovery down at Aqueduct. Also at Aqueduct today, the Long Island on the turf for the Phillies and Mares. We'll have to keep our eyes on the weather there, though. Again, and we will know shortly because they have an 11:50 post time at Aqueduct. So that means they'll kick off Talking Horses sooner rather than later. So we'll get you to that as well. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break, come back. Joe Christofek from Churchill Downs will get a little recap of yesterday's Clark Handicap and also talk a little bit about the two-year-old races, the two-year-old stakes coming up today, including Tis the Law in the Kentucky Jockey Club. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you've come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Happy to be joined now by our friend Joe Kristofek, the paddock commentator from Churchill Downs. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Seth?
Very good. And we're going to take a look at yesterday's Clark and then take a look at the two-year-old stakes. But before we do that, just update us on the weather down there at Churchill.
I needed to build an ark to get from my apartment to the track today.
It's been like that for 2 weeks, right? You guys have had the cold, wet weather for at least a couple of weeks.
Man, it's November. I mean, one day you'll get mid-50s and sunny, and that's one day, probably the whole month. It's been in the 40s most of the time. I mean, we've had some good racing here, a lot of two-year-olds. This time of year, full fields, 10, 11, 12 races a day, 5 days a week. That's the bright side. The weather can be a little bit iffy, a lot of days off the turf, but it's November, so you kind of come to expect that.
Yeah, and it has been great racing, regardless of the weather. Nice full fields. I was mentioning earlier the purses this fall have been phenomenal, and that's certainly attracting nice full fields. And yesterday, the Grade 1 Clark, speaking of nice purses, $600,000 up for grabs. I thought Tom's Detente was probably the horse to beat. I wasn't sure what to do with Owendale, but they'll run 1-2. We'll watch the stretch run here. Tom's Detente, the number 2 horse, wins by a chart margin of 3.25 as the 4-5 favorite. Owendale, the 8. Nice second for Brad Cox. Mr. Freeze for Dale. Dale Romans runs 3rd in here. What were your impressions and thoughts of the Clark yesterday?
Yeah, very logical top 3. Tom's Detente, you might have tried to beat him as the 4-5 favorite, which I did, but that didn't work out so well. You don't see horses win Grade 1 races under wraps very often. And, the Breeders' Cup Classic wasn't a strong field for the Breeders' Cup Classic, so maybe not the strongest Clark field in history. But Tom's Detente, he won at Keeneland, the Fayette. The connections that were pointing to the Clark makes a lot of sense. And it worked out well for them. Joel Rosario is now 4-4 when he's on this horse. Tom's Detente, 9-16 lifetime, $1.2 million in the bank. Got his first career Grade 1. He's going to turn 7 years old on January 1st. And talking to Al Stahl after the race, they're leaving all options open. Gulfstream, Dubai, Saudi Arabia. Oh. And he said if the right stud deal came along, they would consider that as well, because the horse is going to be 7. But with 16 starts, Seth, it doesn't have a lot of miles on him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 16 starts, 9 wins. You got to love that. And put a ton of money in the bank. And, I read that was the first Grade 1. So congratulations to Al Stahl and the team. That was a nice victory yesterday in the Clark. All right, let's go on to what may be some of the stars of the future. Let's kick things off, boys and girls, two-year-old stakes today at Churchill. But let's kick things off in the Kentucky Jockey Club, because I said earlier, Eclipse Implications, our friend Jack Knowlton in Saratoga, Barkley Tag and Team, with the two nice performances in New York so far. We up at Saratoga saw the career debut that was certainly impressive against state breds, but then moved in the Champagne. We'll watch the stretch run here. Grade 1 types in the Champagne, and he dusts them as well. So Tis the Law comes in, as I say, with a potential Eclipse Award sitting out there. But South Bend's interesting to me for Stanley Huff and Sagamore, 3-3 so far. Shotsky, I thought, if you wanted to play around and maybe have a little bit of a price, that one was intriguing as well. What are your thoughts on the Jockey Club?
Well, you guys are very familiar with Tis the Law. And obviously, after he won the Champagne, the connection said, we're skipping the Breeders' Cup, we're going to Churchill. I mean, obviously, they want to see how he handles this racetrack. One of the things I like most about him is that he has overcome adversity in his 2 wins. We're going to stretch him out today, for the first time around 2 turns. But the pedigree certainly says yes to that. Constitution has been an unbelievable first crop sire. To me, honestly, Seth, we're going to have a sloppy track. He hasn't proven he can handle that yet. But if he does, to me, this is a free space. Tis the Law is supposed to win this race. South Bend is a nice horse. It was like a 5-horse photo finish that he got the best of in the street sense. He's a relentless closer. He's got a big heart. He's going to try two turns for the first time as well. But Tizzalaw is supposed to win this race. And Forcible's been training well. He's got grade one placing on his resume. Fighting CB was wide throughout in the street sense. He could run a big race. Silver Prospector should be prominent throughout. But Tizzalaw is supposed to win. I think if you're playing multi-race wagers, you know, you can maybe consider him as a single. I mean, that's the way I'm going.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that South Bend and Fighting CB, Silver Prospector have going for them is coming out of that street sense, which was run over the Churchill Downs Strip. But you mentioned it. A lot of times when there is a group at the wire, you want to see one more to prove how good that race was. What were your thoughts after that street sense?
I thought it was a good competitive, solid race, but we've seen better horses, I think, win the street sense, and it's nothing to take away from the winner. I mean, he's game, he's 3-for-3, but like you said, he's got to take that next step, and I think in this game, your four horses, your four races, or your against horses and against races. And I would say I'm against that race. And when you got probably the best 2-year-old in training coming here, being pointed for this race, which is a big thing. This isn't an afterthought for this camp. They've been pointed here. So they're supposed to run well. And the sloppy track throws a little bit of a wrench into the equation. But all things considered, I think you should get the job done.
It does have to be fun for you guys, too. As I said, we're sitting here the end of November, and we're looking at a race that has, I think, pretty solid Eclipse implications.
Yeah, no, that is fun. And that was great news when we heard that he was going to be coming here. But at the time, you know, you're thinking that Dennis's Moment or Baffert's horse, or, you know, maybe even at the time, the Brendan Walsh's nice colt, who had to be, withdrawn from Breeders' Cup Juvenile Consideration, Maxfield. One of them wins. They're the Eclipse Award winner. But now you get a random result, the Juvenile, and you get Tizzalaw coming here, and it completely changed the complexion of that award.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a fun race this afternoon. Race 11 at Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Jockey Club. On the girls' side of things, the Goldenrod Grade 2 event for the 2-year-old fillies, $300,000 up for grabs. And this one looks like it's going to go through finite for Steve Asmussen. Comes out of a nice win last time in the Rags to Riches down at Churchill. But a horse that I thought was interesting was Bean, who in the career debut looked pretty good at Arlington, followed that up with a nice performance at Presque Isle, and then in the dirt debut at Churchill, lost the jockey. So that darkens the form a little bit, but was a beaten favorite that day, 12-1 on the morning line. I thought Bean was interesting, his Glory perhaps as well, and Motu for Ken McPeak. What are your thoughts in the Goldenrod?
Yeah, fun race. I mean, you said it, the race goes through finite, and she couldn't have been more visually impressive than she was in the Rags to Riches, but Lady Glamour was second. She was 20-1. So, you know, what did she beat in the Rags to Riches? That remains to be seen. Two-turn question she has to answer by Munnings, obviously, is more of a sprinty type sire, but she do got Tappet on the bottom side. She's got the rails. I think she's going to have to go with Ricardo. There is a little bit of other speed. I agree with you on Bean. I know Ravelli is very, very high on this horse. He was high on her when she ran at Churchill. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to strut her stuff. The winner of that race, Turtle Tracks, is pretty good. All recent reports on her training have been thumbs up and then some. She's one to look out for. But Ivy Etsu is a horse that I'm really intrigued by. She lost all chance in the debut. Second start, she broke her maiden for fun. And if you go back and watch that replay, Seth, she, it was a breathtaking type move. I know she didn't get a big speed figure, but she's bred for distance by Tappet out of a King Mambo mare, well handled by Rusty Arnold. And Tyler Gaffleone is Mr. November here at Churchill. He won the title, wrestling it away from Corey Lannery last November. He's just a few behind Corey this year. Won Bolt stake races on Thursday here. So he's riding in great form. And 12-1 on the morning line on IBSU. And I think you'll get every bit of that, honestly.
Very good. I looked at that horse, too. But as you say, the number was a little light. But I was in here that afternoon doing the handicapping show. And that maiden breaker, I thought, was very impressive. Trying two turns for the first time. So maybe there's another one with a little bit of a price. Joe, before we let you go, just update us. You and I were talking before we went on the air. game plan from here is your normal rotation. By the end of the week, you'll be down at the fairgrounds, correct?
Yeah. Two of our brilliant horses are already there. Steely Danza, who should run third week of December for his debut. And Templet, who's actually running in the fifth race today. He was second at Indiana Grand last time, so I'm looking forward to joining the horses. Eskenforth getting a month off in Ocala. I wish I could say the same. But, yeah, packing the bags and packing the cats and heading down to New Orleans Thursday. Should be on the air on Friday. And just getting a look at what's going on down there. The turf course looks absolutely pristine. You know, we just had a tremendous year last year with the horses that came out of New Orleans that did damage the rest of the calendar year moving forward. So looking forward to the change of venues and looking forward to some grilled oysters.
Yeah, and that three-year-old trail down, both for the boys and the girls, really has been productive over the past, 10 years or so, really, but certainly over the last 5 years. As I say, both the three-year-old girls going to the Kentucky Oaks and the three-year-old boys going to the Kentucky Derby, a nice, solid trail. Have you ever been down for Thanksgiving Day at Fairgrounds? That's one of the racetrack visits I want to make.
Yeah, I mean, we have a great Thanksgiving Day at Churchill. It's absolutely packed. It's a big tradition in Louisville, but it's just a whole other story in New Orleans. And they're back to their traditional Thanksgiving Day opening after opening earlier last year. I'm so glad they moved it back to Thanksgiving. It's a tradition. You see the pictures, and the place is absolutely packed. And, yeah, I've never had an opportunity to get down there for Thanksgiving, maybe one of these days, but yeah, it's a great way to start the meet down there.
And I am just looking. Your pick six pot is up to $54,000. And tomorrow's a mandatory pay, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was hit for a quarter of a million. What was it on Thursday? And then people bet it back pretty strong on Friday, and we had a full carryover. So it's back to a very worthwhile number of $54,000 today, mandatory payoff tomorrow. And the single stakes, 20 cent minimum, 15% takeout, just the way the wager is structured, even if you're sharing it. Like yesterday, I paid 22 grand, and it really wasn't that hard to have. So I just think it's a great bet. It's like endorsing a product. You better believe in it, and I certainly believe in this bet.
Yeah, as we wrap up the meet, keep in mind that mandatory pay as the meet wraps up down at Churchill. Joe, I'm fighting a little throat thing here, but I appreciate you coming on and putting up with me for a few minutes. And the next time we talk to you, you'll be down in New Orleans.
Yeah, man, feel better. A few winners always will help cure any ills that may fate you at the time. So, yeah, always great talking to you, Seth. Hope all is well, and we'll be in touch soon.
Yeah, good luck to you and everybody down at Churchill on the last couple of days of the meet. Joe Kristofek from Churchill Downs. Again, two nice two-year-old stakes this afternoon. Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club. We'll take a break when we come back. More on this Saturday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB. With our newly designed, state-of-the-art mobile wagering site, everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Paul Brown. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Again, excuse me for the croaking a little bit, but after a weekend out of town, man, I think it was the airplane. Everybody blames it on the airplane. I actually had it before the airplane, but I think it was actually on the airplane. It was a great ride in, kind of, because on the flight from Chicago, there was a little TV on my the seat in front of me. I got to watch the Syracuse basketball game for the entire flight. Started when I took off, ended when I landed, but they lost. So that was the downside of that happy happenstance. But let me hit on some of the stakes winners over the last few days. And again, we'll hit more on this tomorrow on Racing Across America when we do our stakes review. But Frenzy Fire won on the 27th this past week at Penn National. They had a couple of nice stakes on their evening card a few days ago. And Frenzy Fire, Jason Service, a horse that clearly had been a player last year on the three-year-old scene. And this year just kind of hadn't quite been able to live up to that. Only one win so far this year coming into the race a couple of nights ago at Penn National, the Fabulous Strike. But it put just under $400,000 in the bank, and this is a horse that before the other night had $1.5 million in. Was certainly firing some good numbers. Had run fifth last time in the Breeders' Cup Sprint behind Matoli, Chancelot, and Whitmore. But this was right up his alley. It put a couple of $100,000 up for grabs at Penn National in the Fabulous Strike at 6 furlongs, and here we have the replay, and Frenzy Fire is going to be the number 9 horse at 1-5, and again, you know, you come out of a good number, a fifth place finish, but a good number behind Matoli and Chancelot, you're going to kind of step over a field like this. There were a couple, Lewis Field was a little bit of a player, perhaps. Horse that ran second, Midnight Charlie, was actually the second choice, the co-second choice. Number one, Midnight Charlie, was coming out of a win at Penn National. Maybe that tells you a lot, that the Penn National horse was the second choice, but pretty easy win here and a couple $100,000 purse to take the majority of Penn National the other night for a Frenzy Fire. So now we're looking at 8 wins and 22 career starts. But as I say, a little light this year with only 2 wins and 8 starts so far. But a good chunk of change. And this put the horse well over, approaching $500,000 in earnings this year. So the other night down at Penn National, it was Frenzy Fire getting it done. Thanksgiving Day at Churchill Downs, there was a couple of nice stakes. The Fall City for the ladies going 1 1/8 on the main track. I like Sally's Curlin over My Lady Curlin. Came My Lady Curlin on top. I had those two 1-2. Sally's Curlin disappointed a little bit as the second choice. Sally's Curlin winds up running 7th. My Lady Curlin, though, won it pretty easily. Did wind up to be the favorite, so the betting public was right there. Brad Cox, trainee, coming out of a couple of nice placings in Churchill Downs stakes races most recently, but got it done. Again, Thanksgiving Day, My Lady Curlin is the number 3 horse. Go Google Yourself was a horse that also had some potential in here. I had that one down in the 3rd spot. Go Google Yourself will run 2nd and 9. And Moonlit Garden, another Brad Cox runner. And because it was the other, quote-unquote, Brad Cox, I debated about putting that one in. I eventually left Moonlit Garden out. But she's a horse with plenty of talent and just gets up here to run 3rd over Radzikowski at 8-1 was Moonlit Garden. So My Lady Curlin gets it done in the Fall City. And in the Cardinal, it was an upset. I did not like the winner in here. Did not use Kaleo at all in my mix. But Kaleo winds up getting it done in the Cardinal. The Cardinal, fillies and mares on the turf. So it was kind of the turf version of the Fall City. But it does wind up to be Kaleo for Brendan Walsh. Tyler Gaffney on board. You heard Joe Christofek talk about how well he is racing down there. at Churchill this fall. So he gets it done. A little bit of an upset, as they say, with a $31.20 mutual. Number two, Kaleo. The horse I liked was Starship Jubilee. That one will run second as the 1-2 favorite, but a pretty well-beaten second. Winds up chart margin of three lengths back. Clear of the third horse, number seven, English Soul, at 32-1. So a couple of long shots bookending the favorite in here. And what'd you wind up with a try with the $340 try for 50 cents with the favorite running second, as I say, bookended by 14-1 and 32-1. So a nice performance there from the Brendan Walsh runner, who, again, I did not use the horse, had a couple of wins and eight starts coming into this, but the last two weren't much. Keeneland had run seventh in an allowance over at Kentucky Downs, had run fifth in a little stakes race, so had to step it up a little bit, and did step it up a little bit. Thanksgiving Day down at Churchill Downs. Again, nice stakes action at Aqueduct this afternoon. Turf Sprint Championship, the Discovery. Discovery's going to be fun to see what Tax can do on the return after not having been seen since the 7th in the Travers. But that said, the three-year-olds this year still have to prove themselves a little bit. It was an iffy three-year-old class. The one that I think is going to flatter the three-year-old class is potentially Maximum Security in the Cigar Mile. We'll see what Tax can do against older horses. Against older horses, Discovery is three-year-olds. Another, like the Hollywood Derby, another late-season three-year-old race. But as I say, I'm just looking at the rest of the field. This was a three-year-old crop that really, other than Maximum Security, hasn't really jumped up and defined itself yet. We'll see if he does it in the Cigar Mile, which is turning out to be a fairly nice race. Whitmore, who I mentioned earlier, third in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, they say he was kind of tearing down the barn. So they are potentially aiming for the Cigar Mile, which could be a nice race next weekend down at Aqueduct. And I think, looking at the condition book, next weekend may be the last Saturday where they're going to try to squeeze in, 10 races or whatever. So the last weekend maybe for an early start. They may move to a more consistent post time on Saturdays, which will mean we'll do the full hour. But I'll wrap it up now for two reasons. You don't want to hear me croak anymore. And also, they should be coming up with Talking Horses in just a few minutes, because this morning they're going to kick off at 11:50. It's 11:50 post time down at Aqueduct today for a 10-race card with, again, some nice stakes action. Nice stakes action at Churchill as well. We will certainly be rooting for Jack Knowlton, Sacatoga, Barkley Tag and Company with Tiz the Law. Great stakes weekend out at Del Mar on the turf. We'll root for Got Stormy to maybe get things done for Mark Cassie and throw her hat firmly in the ring for a potential Eclipse Award. So really, there's a couple of, late in November, a couple of races that really have Eclipse implications, one at Churchill and one out at Del Mar. And we will recap the Kentucky Jockey Club on Racing Across America tomorrow, as well as plenty of the other stakes action from the holiday weekend overall, but today in particular. All right, I'm going to take my leave, but come back in about an hour or so, as we will have OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. And on shorter spurts, I will hydrate, and I think things will be a little bit better as far as the voice this afternoon. At least we'll hope so. And even more importantly, hopefully we'll hand out some winners. So I'm going to wrap things up for this morning's Racing Across America. Again, a little early. And I'm looking at the Naira feed. They haven't come in yet, but I think within the next 5 minutes or so, they will certainly fire up Talking Horses on this Saturday morning, as, again, we're just a little over an hour away from post time down at Aqueduct. So wrapping it up for Racing Across America on this Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in about an hour with OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. Stay tuned.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.